Muy buenas noches a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas en toda la América Latina.
Good evening to everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas in all of Latin America, the Caribbean and North America, and also to those who are connected through the satellite Eutelsat 8 there in the Middle East, in Africa, and Israel and other countries, and also through the Internet. Today, Friday, February 23rd of this year 2024. I also will send warm greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin, there in Lima, Peru, and all those who are there with him. And greetings also to Dr. Nelly Fuentes. May God bless her greatly and continue to restore her completely. For this occasion, we have the subject, The Signs of the Times, preached on Sunday, October 18th, 2015, here in Calle, Puerto Rico. And there he used the scripture of Luke 21, verse 25 to 36, where he tells us, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And there, he draws a pyramid and the ages and an arrow toward the pyramid, where it says heads. He makes an arrow toward the pyramid. And on this other Bible, there in between verse 26 and 27, there in the middle he writes Revelation 11, verse 3 to 6, and Revelation 10, 1 to 11, and 1, verse 7. May God bless His Word in your hearts. And our brother William will read the rest of it under that subject. So you may please be seated. It tells us in the message, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord," preached on January 2nd, 2004, here in Calle, Puerto Rico. Our brother William tells us, but before that, everything was a mystery. In other words, he's talking about the first coming of the Lord. He's been talking about the first coming of the Lord. But before that, everything was a mystery. And when that mystery was opened, notice, the unbelievers didn't believe. The believers believed. There will always be those two main groups, believers and non-believers. The believers hold on to that divine truth. They see the promise made reality, made flesh, and they believe it wholeheartedly. Now notice, to see the promise made a reality is to see the fulfillment of that word, of that promise. in the message, Time of Separation to Receive the Promise, preached on December 8, 1974, there were two messages that he preached under that subject. And there's a part here that says, well, I think we have come this far, and we have seen the type and the anti-type. We have seen the Elijah of the past, and we have seen the Elijah of this time. And we have also seen the elect of the past and the elect of this time. And this is for you to keep it in your heart. The important thing is not whether they are thousands or millions, or there are five, or they are one. The important thing is that you know that you are one of them. How do you know it? Because you believe what the prophet said. Remember that there he was referring to the Reverend William Marion Branham, the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord. And as he spoke, God through him spoke all about the coming of the Lord and how it would be. That is how it would be fulfilled. Because what the prophet said has been God through the prophet who has said it. And if you have believed it, you believe what God has said through the prophet, and you don't stumble over anything. Now, who are the ones that stumble? Those who do not see that word being fulfilled, being materialized. The rest don't stumble. That is, the elect. Now notice, he continues saying, who is the one that does not stumble? The elect. The elect is the one that does not stumble. But the rest will be deceived by the false anointed ones. The false anointed ones will deceive the rest. That is why they will stumble over the word when they hear it. Because when the word is veiled, because whenever and wherever the word is, it is veiled, it is revealed. Let us see, that is in quotations on page 124. On the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1105, wherever the word is, it's veiled. Moses had the word. Now remember, after the word was made manifest, Moses was Moses again, see? But while that word was in him to be given out, but while that word was in him to be given out, he was God. Well, he wasn't Moses no more. He had the word of the Lord for that age. Nothing could touch him till that was over. For he had the word, and he was the word to them. And there he draws a Star of David. And at the top he writes, Moses was the word to the people. This age and dispensation, nothing could touch him until he finished the work. Now, he continues saying, that is why they will stumble over the word when they hear it, and then they have to submit to the teaching of a false anointed one who teaches them contrary to how God spoke through the prophet. That is, how God spoke through the Reverend William Branham, forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, of how the fulfillment of his coming would be. Now, on page 139 in the Book of the Seals, our brother Branham tells us here, because notice, that when that word would be fulfilled, he said not to write it. That is, he told John, don't write it. In other words, at that time, this could not be made known because, notice, he says, but when he started to write those other seven thunders, he said, don't write it. He had been commissioned to write everything he seen. But when these seven thunders over in Revelation 10 uttered, he said, don't write them at all. They are mysteries. We don't know what they are yet, but my opinion, they'll be revealed right away. And when he do, he'll give faith for the rapturing grace for that church to move out, see? What will give faith and rapturing grace to the bride to be raptured? Those seven thunders sounding, uttering, speaking. And above he writes, the thunders, the rapturing faith. And you already know all the writings that are there. We've just moved through everything that we know of through all the dispensations. We've watched everything. We've seen the mysteries of God. We've seen the appearance of the great gathering together of the bride in the last days. But yet, there is something in there that we just can't lighten ourselves with. There is something other. But I imagine when the mysteries begin to come forth, God said, hold it back now, wait a minute, I'll reveal it in that day. Don't write it at all, John, because they'll stagger over it. Just let it go, see? But I'll reveal it in that day, and he writes a day, when it has need to be done. And that is what he spoke in the seventh seal, on 565, where he says there, that they shouldn't stumble with that. It says, I don't know, but I have been privileged by God to look and see what it was. And he writes, in the tent. So, he was able to look and see what the mystery of the seventh seal was. And he writes Moses in what it was. That is a dispensational messenger there. See? See unfold to that much. Now that is the truth. And I'm sure that you've noticed the things that I've seen happening this week. I'm sure you noticed that little Collins boy laying there dying the other night. That little leukemia girl. The kingdom of God is coming. He writes dispensation of the kingdom. And it's becoming more from the negative to the positive. And he writes the seven ages with their angels. To the positive, he writes the morning star. As it has been. Now, that oughtn't choke people from justification to sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then here, and he writes, the second coming of the Lord, the seventh seal. What is the coming of the Lord? The seventh seal. That angel who was different from the rest, the one who had the seventh seal. See, we're just drawing closer to God all the time. Now notice, the whole group that was present during the ministry of our brother William Soto Santiago, the whole group was already in a stage where around the end of his ministry, 2015, 16, 17, 18, and 19, while he was alive, in other words, while he was here, his presence in that earthly body, while he was with the people, none of the believers in the message of our brother William, the whole group, no one stumbled over brother William. Now, if it is says that the opening of the seventh seal would be a stumbling block to people, that is, the opening of the seventh seal, there would come a time when out of that whole group that went out, there would come a time when they were going to stumble. When? When that which the Reverend William Branham foreran or foreshadowed was being fulfilled. And when all the news that that mighty archangel brought us, which was the good tidings as it was back then in the time of Jesus in his first coming, when he appeared there and spoke to Mary, and now to the spiritual Mary, he was speaking to us all the things that would be happening with the coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One, and what he would be carrying out, and the why God would be sending in this end time, in the midst of the church bride, the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with His angels. That, when it would be fulfilled, then there would be a group who would stumble. And now you can openly, clearly see who are the ones that are believing and who are the ones that are stumbling. Of that group which are stumbling today is of those that He was speaking about from the beginning. Let us, so we do not go so far back, let us say since Brother Branham, he was telling us that a time would come in which they would stumble, of which he said in the seventh seal, this shouldn't be a stumbling block to anybody, because such has been the work and the way in which God always fulfilled His promise through an instrument. Now, he continues saying, so we can see that we are few for the rapture. We are few. And there are many things that will continue to come from God, where the only ones left there will be the ones who believed what God said to the prophet. Only the true ones will stay believing. The rest will stumble. Now, how are the believers in the message of Brother Williams are going to stumble with him or over him? One, he has already departed. Two, the elect will not stumble with his message, because those were the good tidings. There must be something over which that group that came out, there are unbelievers and there are believers. There is wheat and the tares, which God had to carry out something in the midst of that group that left, so that there would be that separation, that segregation, and that group to stumble. Meanwhile, nobody stumbled. But when God begins to fulfill that promise in the midst of the people, then there is where you can see that separation between the elect and the make-believer or the unbeliever. Then they will only stay with a part of the message, but not all of it. In other words, not with everything that the forerunner spoke regarding what the second coming of the Lord would be and what that mighty archangel spoke. In other words, they are only going to stay with a part and not with all of it, not with all the revelation that they brought us about how the fulfillment of His coming would be. And remember that the Reverend William Branham in his time reflected, typified that messenger. And so did our Brother William Soto Santiago. That is why on many occasions he spoke as if that was being fulfilled in his time. But notice, Brother Branham departed and so did Brother William. And that rapturing faith was not given to the elect. That is what is happening today. For the bride, it's the whole message. The rest, the foolish, cannot stay with the whole word because they cannot understand it. Don't you see that they are intellectual? They are make believers. And so for them to receive something, they have to understand it with their head. They cannot receive anything by revelation. Notice. Now look what he continues saying in this message that we are reading. Of blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord from 2004, where he told us, the believers hold on to that divine truth. They see the promise made reality, made flesh, and they believe it wholeheartedly. In the book of quotations on page 140, paragraph 1254, says, but God in each age had His Messiah. See, to reject Noah's message was to reject God. And he writes at the top, a Messiah, an anointed one in each age. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages. To reject the anointed one was death for each age. That was another writing at the bottom. To reject Noah was to perish. To reject Moses was to perish. They were the anointed messiahs for that age, the word that was promised for that age. And he writes, they were the promised word for their age, made flesh, made a reality. Moses equals Messiah, because they were, notice, a Messiah, an anointed one, for each age where God sent them. And notice on 1065, the Reverend William Branham also tells us there, on page 120 of the Book of Quotations, it says, he was the vindicated light of that day, see? But there is more word to be vindicated. He's got to vindicate more word. And when the last word is vindicated, then death is swallowed up in victory, and the dead in Christ shall rise. The millennium will set in. And there he writes, the resurrection, and he writes, when the last word is vindicated. And he also writes, the Lord with Elijah and Moses will be vindicated on the second coming. Notice, and here, at the bottom, in the paragraph, beginning in 1065, above that paragraph, he writes, Jesus, Elijah, Moses. Because notice, the last word being vindicated is the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with His angels at this end time. That's why He says there, the believers hold on to that divine truth. They see the promise made a reality. That is why the Reverend William Branham says there that he's got to vindicate more word. And when he vindicates the word and more word, is always through a prophet. Now, our brother William continues saying here, the unbelievers do not believe, and they begin to fight against the fulfillment of that promise, because they say, I don't see it that way. I believe it will be this other way. It can't be in that simple person. A young carpenter from Nazareth who hasn't studied, what can he teach us? Now notice in the Book of the Seals, on page 180, it tells us, on this Book of the Seals, let us see here, in this other one also, to have it open here, on this page as well, page 180. And in this way, we can also see there, notice, it says, on that page 180, it says, and aren't you happy? Or from the top, on that paragraph, right there. Now, a mysterious thing now, when the beast told John, just come and see. And he didn't see what it was. He just saw a symbol. And that symbol, he had come see, but he saw a symbol that he was to symbolize it to the church in a way that they would watch until he came to the last age, and then the seals would be open. Now, everyone understand that now, see? The seal would be open. And aren't you happy to be living in this day? That, see, not only that, friends, but always remember now, last Sunday morning, where the whole thing was based on simplicity, see? Simple, humble, happens in such a way that people just go right on by and don't even know it happens. And remember, We are looking for the coming of the Lord anytime. Now notice that he also said in that message, the voice that will shake the heavens and the earth, preached on May 4th, 2005 in Talcahuano, Chile. He says, there in a short part of that message, Christ is still in heaven on his throne of intercession. The second coming of Christ has not yet taken place. The coming of the mighty angel has not yet taken place. For Christ is still on the Father's throne, making intercession with his blood. So notice how that had not been carried out yet, even in the time of our brother Branham. And at that time, God wasn't yet operating that ministry in the midst of the church for the fulfillment of that promise to be manifested in the midst of the church. In other words, to begin that ministry and thus fulfill that promise. But remember, he has to be born, he has to grow up, and he has to reach a point to begin that ministry. And he must be taught by the tutor, the Holy Spirit, who was beside that instrument the whole time until he reached an age, notice, where he could say, well, now you're ready, I can leave. Notice, he took care of him so and so well that he was with him since his childhood until, well, since he was born. Since he was born until, speaking in terms of being in these bodies, since he was born until he reached an age where he could then leave after giving those good tidings, which he spoke and said, I have been sent from the presence of God to give this news, these good tidings, and the sooner I give them, the sooner I can go to the house of my Heavenly Father. Now, he goes on to say here, we're looking for the coming of the Lord anytime. There he writes on this other book, he writes, simplicity. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages. I made a statement that perhaps the rapture will be the same way. It will be gone over and no one will know nothing about it. Just go on back through the Bible and look how it happens like that, see? Even a great a thing as the Lord Jesus coming, nobody knew nothing about it. They thought, that crank, somebody. The church said, just a fanatic. He's really crazy. Said, he's a madman. We know thou art mad. You were born out there illegitimately. You was born in fornication. Try to teach men like us, the priest, and so forth, the temple? Well, my, that was an insult to them. But notice, now they're also saying, what this man needs is psychological help, or what he needs is help. There is where the scholars of this world come with the education, which has been and always will be a big problem, which will be taken away. Everything that is earthly education. Let's see where that is. There is a writing that he wrote regarding the earthly education. Let us see if we can find it real quick. On the 13 quotations, page 156, paragraph 1392. Notice what it says there. Or is it 1391? 1391. Knowledge and civilization and through Christianity has nothing in common. In other words, knowledge and civilization have nothing in common with Christianity. And there he writes, knowledge is of the devil. Civilization and true Christianity has not one thing in common. Civilization is by knowledge. We all know that. And knowledge is from Eden. Proved it by what he preached in Eden. And knowledge causes death. Is that right? And above, he also writes, the fall in Eden, civilization is by knowledge from the tree of knowledge. What caused death in the Garden of Eden? Knowledge. But can't be of God, so it's of the devil. Wow, was that a good one? Knowledge, science, education is the greatest hindrance that God ever had. And he writes, education and science equals is the hindrance. Now notice, there, they start speaking to Jesus psychologically and all that. And they tell him, you truly are crazy, you have a devil, and it's driving you crazy. Currently, well, they say it more polite and using more refined words. And you try to teach us when you were born out there illegitimately. You was born in fornication. Try to teach men like us, the priest, and so forth, the temple. Well, my, that was an insult to them. When John came, being talked about down through the ages from Isaiah to Malachi, 712 years, he had been seen of the prophets coming. Everybody was looking for him to come, expecting it at any time. But the way that he come, that is, he's speaking of John the Baptist. He had been announced by Isaiah, Zechariah, Malachi, and all those prophets. Everybody was looking for him to come, expecting it at any time. But the way he come, he preached and done his service and went on into glory. And even the apostles didn't know it. And now they couldn't be saying that John was going to return again, since they didn't realize who he was. Well, let's wait for John to come, to return again. Didn't they say that about Jesus? Isn't this John who resurrected? Notice, they are always thinking, adding to the word. If John had already left, that is because he had already finished the ministry through John. And so then God would fulfill what John foreshadowed, which was the coming of the Messiah, in another veil of flesh. For they asked Jesus, they said, now, if the Son of Man is going to Jerusalem, all these things to be offered, said, why is it the scripture says that Elias is going to come first? Jesus said, he's already come and you didn't know it. And he did just exactly what the scripture said he would do. And they did to him just what was listed, see? And they couldn't understand it. Now notice, John fulfilled exactly what the scripture said. But Jesus is saying there that they, all those who did what they did to John, they were doing exactly what it was written that they would also do with him. That is how it was with the forerunner back then and with the one forerun. And that is how it is at this time as well. It runs parallel. The complete divine plan is being fulfilled perfectly, and it is all going according to the divine program. It is the same scene, but with different characters. He said, it was John. Jesus said, that is, Jesus said, it was John. And then, oh, see, they woke up to it. And when, even at last, after all the things he had done, and the signs that he did show them, and had even called them, said, which one of you can condemn me of sin, unbelief? If I haven't done just what the scripture said, that my office would do when I come to the earth, then show me where I've sinned. See, then I'll show you what you're supposed to be, and let's see whether you believe it or not. See? He had come right back and said, you were supposed to believe on me when I come. They didn't do it, see? So they know better than to tie in on him on that. Look, but he said, which one of you can accuse me of unbelief? See, haven't I done just what it was? And even the apostles going along stumbled. Now notice, even the apostles. In other words, it is not surprising that ministers have stumbled. We know how the scriptures go. Then finally, at last, they said, now we believe. We believe that no man has to tell you, for you know all things. Now, I'd just like to have seen his face. That is, Jesus' face. He must have looked at them, said, well, do you now believe? Finally, it dawned on you. Well, it wasn't supposed to be, maybe, till that time. And he drew a Star of David. You see? And God works everything just right. You know, I love him for that. Now notice, our brother William continues saying here, it can't be in that such a simple person, a young carpenter from Nazareth who hasn't studied. What can he teach us when we have a high priest who has his doctorate degree and now a young carpenter comes who can only talk about carpentry, nails, wood, hammers, and things like that. And now he comes to teach us, and to top it off, to say that the coming of the Messiah is being fulfilled in him. Now notice. Jesus identified himself there as the fulfillment of that promise. And what does the Reverend William Branham tell us? On page 59, from paragraph 519, a short part here where he says, he'll be assigned to this Gentile nation. He's speaking about the fourth Elijah, that their time is no more. And remember, when he appears on the scene, the time is at hand. Let's pray for God to send him. Time is at hand. As soon as his ministry was finished, Messiah showed himself. As soon as this great one will come in the last days, will finish his ministry, the Messiah will show himself. And there he writes, when he finishes his ministry, the Messiah will appear. He will present himself. And other scriptures more, other excerpts that he wrote. Now notice, what further ahead, on that same page 182, on the Book of the Seals, he goes on to tell us. Brother Branham is telling us. On page 182, paragraph 40 says, now, in the last days, it's predicted to us that there will rise a prophet. Now, we know that we've had all kinds. Now, I realize after looking around tonight, I'm speaking here where students are sitting, and I'd like for you to understand me. And you realize these tapes cover the world, see? Just about all the world. And I want you to not, by no means, think I am trying to inject some kind of a cult of Elijah's blanket or robes. And all those things, we've had plenty of them. But you know, all those things are only a forerunning of the real thing that is to come, to throw the people off. In other words, all those things they make up are only a forerunning to throw off the people from the real thing. And there he draws a Star of David. Did you know we had false leaders raised up, false Messiah before Christ come? Didn't the teacher of that day, that mighty teacher Gamaliel, when the question come up about beating this man and so forth, he said, let them alone. If it is of God, why? You'll be fine fighting against God. But if it isn't of God, said, didn't a man raised up not long ago and take 400 into the wilderness and so forth? We have those things. What was it? All for running the real thing when it come. Now see, Satan raises those up. Watch the shrewdness of this fellow that we're talking about here, Satan. We're unfolding him right here. Remember that this is what the reaping angels are doing, which are doing that work of separation, of segregation. So therefore, they are unfolding Satan, exposing him, uncovering him, just stripping him down by the scriptures and letting you see who he is. That's what is supposed to be done. And you remember, he has not tried to go in and be a communist. Satan hasn't. He's an antichrist. So close that antichrist, notice, is something that is shown there in that word Christ, because he is anointed, but he is a false anointed one. Therefore, by those people being anointed by the devil, notice, they have something because they are in it, and they have a knowledge that, it says, would deceive the very elect if it were possible. In other words, but it is not possible. Now it says, he is an antichrist, so close that Jesus said, would deceive the very elect. And that's the ones that's hit down in these seals. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And in very elect, he draws an arrow toward the cornerstone, and there he places another arrow toward the bottom part. That is the elect, the chosen ones of the ages, and also those of the cornerstone. Hid down in these seals, whose names are on the book since the foundation of the world. And he writes, in this other book, he writes this, the names in the book. He is a shrewd fellow, and when he sees this thing coming up, then he throws everything he can out there to upset it before he gets there. In this other book, he writes, he tries to ruin everything. Those are the devil's tricks. When God is fulfilling and carrying out his work, there are always instruments of the devil to ruin that program and that work which he is carrying out in the midst of the people who are waiting for him, who are waiting for God to fulfill that word, that promise. Did you know there will be false Christ arise in the last days? There he also writes on the right side, when something comes. It should follow immediately after this great message that this brother will speak, that will actually come, be anointed in the spirit of Elijah immediately, and they'll mistake him. Some of them will think he is the Messiah. He is speaking of the fourth Elijah. But he'll strictly say no, because it's got to be come in like John. See, because he was the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord. But let us see here, because he spoke to us that in the book of the ages. On page
328.
Let us see. It would be let us see here for a minute. It is near the end. Here it is, 328. I'm going to read 328 on that page, where he says, but don't you believe it. But don't you believe it. He's not Jesus Christ. He's not the Son of God. He's one of the brethren, a prophet, a messenger, a servant of God. He needs no greater honor bestowed upon him than that which John received when he was the voice that cried. See, there he identifies himself as John as well, because he is the forerunner. I am not he, but he is coming after me. And there he writes, Moses and Elijah. Who is coming and who is he forerunning? Moses and Elijah, the two olive trees, which he said of them that they would be manifested in the great tent cathedral. But then who was Brother William? If you could identify those who have not yet done it, who was the forerunner? Who was the one who brought the good tidings? And who is the fulfillment of what they spoke? Then the picture would become clear and everything would add up and the puzzle would start to come together. Now notice how also here in this message of the ages, here on 326, page 326, says, though he will not be popular, he will be vindicated by God. He's speaking about the fourth Elijah. As Jesus authenticated John and the Holy Ghost authenticated Jesus, we can well expect this man will be first of all authenticated by the Spirit working in his life in acts of power that are indisputable and found nowhere else. And Jesus himself, in returning, and he writes with Moses and Elijah, there he's talking about the second coming of the Lord. God operating through that instrument, those ministries of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And in 2005, he told us that the second coming of the Lord had not yet been fulfilled. Therefore, God was not fulfilling those ministries in the midst of his church because the half hour of silence was not in fulfillment yet. And he would have a great tent cathedral. There would be a great tent cathedral in the midst of his church. None of those elements was there, neither the ministries nor the place either. And the dispensation of grace was still open, of which he said in a message, we are still, that was the angel with the seal of the living God, which was December 25th, 2004. We are still in the dispensation of grace. He has not yet come out of the throne of intercession. The title deed has still not been taken from the right hand of God. The mighty angel of Revelation 10, that scripture hasn't yet been fulfilled. The dispensation of the kingdom has not yet been entered. So don't come telling me that we were in the dispensation of the kingdom back at that time. Because although he spoke of all of that, notice, he was saying that about how the time would be when that would be happening. But since they do not have prophetic insight, what they rather do is reason. Well, notice, that is what happens when they are not ordained by God to see, to understand, to comprehend. Then they stumble over the fulfillment. Now he continues saying, and Jesus himself in returning will authenticate him, even as he authenticated John. John witnessed that Jesus was coming, and so will this man, like John, and he writes Elijah, witness that Jesus is coming, and he writes with Moses and Elijah. And the very return of Christ will prove that this man indeed was the forerunner of his coming. This is the final evidence that this indeed is the prophet of Malachi 4. For the end of the Gentile period will be Jesus himself appearing. And he writes Elijah and Moses. Then it will be too late for those who have rejected him. And there he draws the pyramid and everything he wrote and drew there. And in a little card here, he wrote. And here, he was already in those days, because his handwriting is a little bit... I think I already read this little card. Here, he was already beginning to write again. And you could tell. You will see it in the writings. He writes it. It is in this page, exactly on the page that we read from the Book of the Seals. Let me correct this, from the ages. On the unedited book, he writes, the coming of the Lord will be the final vindication that WMB, that is William Marion Branham, was the forerunner of his coming. And he writes there, ages 365. Laodicean age, paragraph 30. Notice, all of that was when God was speaking through the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord and was showing in his message about how his coming would be. And with his coming, in other words, the coming, the fulfillment of that prophecy, of that promise, was the final vindication with the presence of that instrument. God working, operating those ministries, it was the final vindication. It would be the final vindication that the Reverend William Branham was the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord. He was the forerunner of my coming. Now, he continues saying, where we stopped around here, we were on 183 in the Book of the Seals. It says, let us see where we stopped. There it is. And they'll mistake him. Some of them will think he is the Messiah, but he'll strictly say no, because it's got to be come in like John. In the time of John the Baptist, when he came out there to preach, they said to him, aren't you the Messiah? Aren't you he? He said, I'm not. I'm not worthy to loose his shoes. But I baptize you with water. But he'll baptize with the Holy Ghost. And John was so sure that he was on earth, he said, he is among you somewhere now. But he did not know him till he saw the sign come down upon him. Then when he seen that light coming down and spread out like a dove and lit upon him, he said, there he is. That's him. But John was the only one saw it, you know? John was the only one heard the voice. All the rest of them there, no one heard it. Now, what did he see in that vision of the great 10th cathedral? Where he saw the pillar of fire speaking to someone. And he saw that he rested upon that little wooden room. The only one that saw it was him. And the angel that showed him everything, of course. But referring of Brother Branham, notice, the only one who saw it was him. The only one who heard what he was listening to in there was him, of which the angel said to him, you won't tell anyone anything about this. That is why he said, I will take this with me. And there, that of the only one who heard back then is perfectly fulfilled in Brother Branham. The only one who saw was Brother Branham. Now, notice that what he saw is what you are seeing. What he heard is what you're hearing. Because, notice, that is what the church bride would be receiving and what John was forbidden to write because they would stumble over it. But for some, notice, for some it is a stumbling block. For some that is a cause of stumbling. Because back then it was said, keep that to yourself, John, because they will stumble over that. But notice, the elect will not stumble over that. And the elect of this end time are not stumbling over that fulfillment, over that word being fulfilled, that prophecy being fulfilled. But then when the real true servant comes on with all the impersonations to it, it's to upset the people's mind. Satan does that. how we see them at this time. That is so clear, right? And Satan does that. And those who can't discern right from wrong, they just stumble over. But the elected won't do it. The Bible said he wouldn't be able to deceive the elected. And now, just before the coming of Christ, the Bible said there would be false Christ arise and would claim to be Christ and would say, lo, the people say he is in the desert. Don't believe it. Lo, he is in the secret chamber. Don't believe it. For as the sun shineth from the east unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. See? And he writes, as the sun, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Yes, he'll appear, and he'll be a universal thing. And now that will, now, of course, when they find out that something has taken place, you see? Now notice that in the book of the quotation says that his coming will be universal, and he says, of course, when they find out that something has taken place, you see, then they, now remember, that will take place immediately after the going home of the church, after the rapture. That is when they say, hey, well, something happened here. What is going on with all these judgments? What happened here? There, it will be something universal, because it will be made known. In other words, there comes a time when they will know that they have to go through those divine judgments, because they stumbled. They did not believe. And we are talking about the foolish and the unbelievers who do not have an opportunity. And the foolish, well, they will have eternal life. Those who have not been blotted out from the book of life. Now, there will be false impersonations all the time. And we do not mean to be connected in anything like that. No, sir. And I believe when the person comes, this one that's predicted to come, I'm showing it only by the scriptures, that the man will have to be a prophet. He certainly will. And the revelation of God, because God, the word of the Lord, comes through his prophets. That's exactly right. And God cannot change, you see. If he had a better system, he would have used it. But he chose the best system at the beginning. In other words, if he had a better system, look, if from the beginning, he had used a glorified theophanic body to carry out his work from age to age and dispensation to dispensation, well, he would have done it that way. But since God always works through human flesh, through human beings, surely the Lord will do nothing without first revealing his secrets to his servants, his prophets. Well, that's the way he chose from the beginning. Just like he could have chose the sun to preach the gospel. He could have chose the moon. He could have chose the wind, but he chose man. And he never did choose groups, individuals, see? And never two major prophets on the earth at the same time. And he writes, there are never two greater prophets at the same time. And Brother William spoke to us and told us that if that were to happen, that two prophets were present at the same time, one would belong to the past dispensation and the other one to the new dispensation that is beginning. But not both ministering under the same dispensation. In other words, God ministering through them at the same time. See, every man is different. He's got a different makeup. If God could get one person, that's all he has to have, right in his hand. He can do what he wants to. He just has to have one. In the days of Noah, days of Elijah, days of Moses. Many rose up in the time of Moses. You know how they did and wanted to say, well, you're not the only holy one in the bunch. And Dathan and Korah. And God said, just separate yourself. I'll just open up the earth and swallow them away. What is God doing today? Separating the bride. And he will open up the great tribulation to bring them all into the great tribulation and to take the bride to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then the people got to complaining. He said, I'll just take the whole thing away. And there Moses took the place of Christ then to throw himself in the breach and say, don't do it, Lord. See? And of course, after he had ordained Moses to do this, because notice, that was God there who placed that in Moses' mind. He didn't come over Moses because he was acting like Christ in that time. It was Christ in Moses, absolutely. And he writes, God couldn't ignore Moses because he sent him. We can verify this later with a magnifying glass that I have. Now notice. He continues saying, now we're so glad today that God is revealing himself to us. And I believe the great day is just beginning dawning, breaking. The lights are beginning to flash. The birds of paradise has begun to sing in the saint's heart. They know that it isn't long now. Something is going to happen. Just got to. Now. Notice all these places. Many times people may say, hey, but if you were going to read from there, why didn't you see it before? For sure some have thought this way. But God guides me, and he says, read here or turn here. And maybe it is a writing that I have not read. Because there are so many books that I am studying that I only have a little left of everything that God is showing me in everything there is here. And I continue seeing there. And for example, this one, that page. I don't remember if I had read this one, that little part there. But later we will look for it. That is, we will clarify it. That little part there. What he wrote there. Now notice. He continues saying there, in this message where we stopped here to read, I'm reading in the message, Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord of 2004. Our brother William continues to say there, let us go just before a bit to start interlacing that again. He says, when we have a high priest who has his doctorate degrees, and now a young carpenter comes, who can only talk about carpentry, nails, wood, hammers, and things like that. And now he comes to teach us, and to top it off, to say that the coming of the Messiah is being fulfilled in him. See? It was something that wasn't logical to the great doctors of divinity, of theology, of the Hebrew religion. But it was the fulfillment of what God had promised. Notice on page 156 of the book of quotations, paragraph 1396, it tells us, but in obedience, this little faith woman that lives by faith, the bride, the person here, there, here, or somewhere else, some other church, some other denomination, whatever it is, believe the word of God, obedient, waiting in love, for the promise of the age to be confirmed. She is watching for it. She is part of that word. And she is watching for her life to manifest that word. Brethren, can you see that? I hope that didn't go over you. The body is waiting for, which is the word, waiting for the life, which is the spirit, to confirm or make it alive. That's what she's waiting for. No other life will work in her. She can't come to life any other way. Yet, she feels it out there, and she knows it's going to happen. Then, here it happens. Then she wakes up. God said, let there be, and she come forth like the first one come forth. And there, above 1396, on that paragraph, he writes, waiting for the promise of this age to be confirmed. And he also there, at the top, he writes, for each age and dispensation, he has three dots. And here, at the top, he writes, for the Spirit to confirm, to make alive. And he also writes, waiting like Ruth. And in that first sentence up there, where it says, waiting for the life, which is the Spirit, and there to the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow toward the cornerstone, and he writes above, in flesh. Now notice, all that there. And look on page 9b. There where he tells us, from paragraph 86, it says, and the separation time is now taking place when God is calling a bride and the devil is calling a church. And he writes above, time of separation. Let me be part of the bride. Let us pray. Dear God, we see the handwriting on the wall, Lord. We're at the end time. We know that there is great things laying ahead. But yet somewhere out in this mess out here, is still honest people that's been ordained to life. It would be impossible for one man or two men, but God, all of us together, let us spread in every corner we can the good news that Jesus is coming. And see, just spread a little bread along, a little word. Wherever the eagles are, they'll follow that food. Whether it comes by a tape, or whether it comes by a word or a testimony, eagles will follow it to its headquarters. And there he draws a cornerstone and an arrow toward the cornerstone. For it is written, where the carcass is, there the eagles will gather. And he writes, the eagles will follow to the headquarters where the food is. And on the left he also writes there, the coming of the Lord. Now, our brother William continues saying here, the Reverend William Branham says that when God promises something great, he fulfills it in a simple way. And 9 out of 10 times, he says, 9 of them are fulfilled in the midst of the people and they cannot understand it. They cannot see it. Now notice here in the book of the excerpts of the 10th vision, on the 2nd volume, there you can read a place where there is this excerpt of the message, Where is the God of Elijah? Which was preached on March 15, 2009 in Santa Marta, Mexico. It says, on page 11 of the excerpt on the 10th vision, volume 2, he says, and the great final manifestation of the God of Elijah will take place in the giant 10th cathedral that is promised to appear. There will be the climax part of the God of Elijah in the midst of Christianity. And there will be where the Hebrew people who have been seeking for the God of Elijah and are asking themselves, where is the God of Elijah? And the Christians are also asking themselves, where is the God of Elijah? They will see him manifested in the midst of the church bride of the Lord Jesus Christ in the stage of the age of the cornerstone, in the golden age of the church of the Lord. As simple as that. And that will fulfill all the divine promises that have been made to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Hebrew people related to the manifestation of God at the last day, where the ministries of Elijah, Moses, and Jesus will be manifested by the Holy Spirit. Now, what will fulfill all those divine promises that have been made to the Church? Well, the appearance of that great 10th cathedral and the manifestation of God at the last day, at this last day, where those ministries will be, as he says there, the ministry of Elijah, of Moses, and Jesus, being what? Being manifested by the Holy Spirit. And he goes on saying, and of course there will be a man. But we have been saying that God used uses and will always use from the beginning. What he used to reveal himself to his people. He says on page 184, which is the one we read, the word of the Lord comes to his prophets. That's exactly right. And God cannot change, you see. If he had a better system, he would have used it. But he chose the best system at the beginning. And which was that system from the beginning? Using a man. And here he's saying, and of course, there will be a man, a messenger that God will be using, through whom the Holy Spirit will be operating those ministries. Notice that. Notice why those people do not stay with the whole message that the mighty archangel brought us. They don't understand these things. It will be something simple to the believers. They will believe it, and then they will understand it. Why will they believe? Because they will read in the Word of God and in the messages of the forerunner that this is what is promised for the church bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be seeing the fulfillment of the things that have been promised. The unbelievers will continue being unbelievers. An unbeliever is an unbeliever. He does not believe the Word of God. He does not believe the program of God. But the believers indeed believe it. And when they see the God of Elijah working and bringing the Word, they say, this is what I was waiting for. Why? Why were they waiting for that? Because that is what was promised. We're not going to expect something that has not been promised. Those who expect something that has not been promised get mixed up in a lot of nonsense and never get anywhere. They will never come to know the God of Elijah. They never get to see the God of Elijah manifested. Notice. Because that is what was promised, and they are not going to expect something. That is, the elect are not going to expect something that has not been promised. And he says, those who expect something that has not been promised, for example, for a person to come in a glorified body, to resurrect in a glorified body, and preach, and supposedly to finish a work he did not finish, and he comes back again in a glorified body to bring the rapture in faith and prepare the church bride. They expect something that has not been promised to be fulfilled that way in a great tent cathedral. Then he says, get mixed up in a lot of nonsense and never get anywhere. Now he goes on to say, never get anywhere. They never come to know the God of Elijah. They never get to see the God of Elijah manifested. We have to be well-founded. We have to have our basis on the Word of God, what has been promised for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ for this end time. We cannot be moved from there. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That is what Jesus said when he was here on earth. Therefore, those who search the Scriptures will be able to see these things that are promised for this end time. The signs of the time. Let us stand and thus leave in this subject the signs of the times.
A nuestro apreciado
our dear brother,
hermano
and friend,
y amigo, el
Dr. William Soto Santiago.